Every day, AFA offers biblical insight on issues that others aren't willing to touch in the hopes that you'll become a world changer. That's why we're offering an in-depth worldview training course called Activate. 13 different professors teaching 18 sessions, all available online, including a printed workbook to help you apply what you've learned and one-year access to AFA streaming content to give you even more resources. Find out more about Activate and sign up today at activate.afa.net.
Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Hope you're having a great Friday. We have that little expression, TGIF, thank God it's Friday. We thank God it's today. This is the day which the Lord has made and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Hey, let me ask you a question. How well do you know the Ten Commandments? Christians believe in the Ten Commandments, and we say we want to have the Ten Commandments posted in classrooms all around America. Louisiana just passed a law about that, that they're requiring the Ten Commandments to be displayed in schools in every classroom and school library. You know, the Ten Commandments were kicked out in the 1980s. Or 1980, and now they're making a comeback, which is critical because these are commandments to live by. This is what the Lord said, Exodus chapter 20. Then God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, Yahweh your Elohim, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. Commandment number one, you shall have no other gods before me. Commandment number two, you shall not make for yourself an idol or any likeness of what is in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the water under the earth. You shall not worship them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children, on the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing loving kindness to thousands to those who love me and keep my commandments. Number three, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. For the Lord will not leave him unpunished who takes his name in vain. Number four, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall not do any work. You or your son or your daughter, your male or your female servant, or your cattle or your sojourner who stays with you. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor your father and your mother, so that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God gives you. That's commandment 5. Commandment 6, you shall not murder. Commandment 7, you shall not commit adultery. Commandment 8, you shall not steal. Commandment 9, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. And commandment number 10, you shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his male servant or his female servant or his ox or his donkey or anything that belongs to your neighbor. Well, you may remember on American Family Radio, American Family Association, there was a Ten Commandments speech challenge for kids to get involved, students to get involved in the Ten Commandments and deliver a speech and send those in to American Family Radio. And there was a contest, so to speak, of that, and we just encouraged the kids. Now, this whole idea came from Pastor Joseph Parker. He's Director of Outreach and Intercession at American Family Association. He's a writer for Engage Magazine. He's the radio host of the Hour of Intercession and the pastor of Bethlehem Church in Winona, Mississippi, and he is with us today. So, Pastor Joseph, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Pastor Jeff, good to be with you this morning.
Thank you, my brother. Okay, so this was your brainchild to do the Ten Commandments speech challenge. Tell us how that came about.
Well, you know, we've actually had the privilege of doing this project. I'm thinking probably started 7 or 8 years ago, but it's continued to develop more and more. And I really, you know, to be honest, I think one of the seeds for this was lots of people in Mississippi would know the name of Mr. James Meredith. He's a civil rights hero of sorts, but he's a strong Christian man. And he He challenged, years ago, he laid out a challenge for every church to adopt a radius within their community and teach the Ten Commandments to all the children within that radius of their church. A wonderful challenge, and very simply, he was encouraging us to carry out the Great Commission. And so I think that was one of the seeds of inspiring us to start the project. But we've been doing it for several years here at American Family Association. And I would mention real briefly the three parts to it is, one is very simply, if a young person memorizes the Ten Commandments, recites them to their dad or mom, we just need a phone call. They're to call in and say, my son recited the Ten Commandments to me. This is his or her size. And this is my mailing address, and we'll mail them a free T-shirt with the Ten Commandments on it. That's one part of it. The second part of the three-part project is the speech challenge, where over a period of a number of years, we've been encouraging young people to write a speech on one of the commandments or on a topic related to the commandments. And we've been encouraged as we've done it over the years, and we've had a lot of speeches. Just like this year, I think we ended up with over 50 speeches from children from ages about 5 to 18. And every speech is powerful, Pastor Jeff, to be very honest with you. I might sound biased, but all of them are beautiful. And you know what is so encouraging to me in listening to the speeches is every year I come to see how there's such a need for the church to put children to work in the kingdom. Children are wonderful proclaimers of truth. And sometimes children will courageously say things that sometimes adults are afraid to say about truth. So each speech has been very encouraging to hear. And also it was wonderful to bring, like what I also do is I bring them on our broadcast and let the parents and the child talk about the process of doing the speech. We typically will let them share their speech on the broadcast, but then talk about what they learned, how they grew, and the parents talk about what they observed in their child. And every broadcast is exciting to hear that because you see God doing a work in the heart of a precious young person. And then the final part is where we lead it or we encourage a local church or others to do a 5-week teaching campaign where you teach using videos and using tools that help people to learn the truths behind the Ten Commandments, but teach the meaning of the Ten Commandments because they're foundational to everything in our Christian faith.
Amen. That's for sure. Well, and as you know, Joseph, in Louisiana, they are now saying, hey, you have to post the Ten Commandments in every classroom and in the library so that kids can see it and read it. Quite a change from what happened in 1980 where they took the Ten Commandments out. You know, it's just insane when we think that we don't want to poison our kids' minds with things like don't lie, don't steal, don't take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Don't bear false witness. Don't covet, I should say. Those are foundational things, as you said, and kids need to know those things. It's not something that somebody just made up. This is who God is. Why are we not to lie? Because God is truth. And he's faithful and true, and the devil is a liar and the father of lies. So, what did you experience from those speeches? What was kind of maybe a theme that came out in those that you guys received?
Well, you know, this year, in years gone by, typically what we would do is we would have them select one of the commandments, and they would do a speech on that particular one for that particular year. And I think of it just turned, the Lord just worked it out where the year Roe v. Wade was overturned, that was the year the children did, you shall not murder. And powerful truths that children share from their heart, drawn, you know, basing them on the Ten Commandments. Well, this year the theme was, why are the Ten Commandments important? That's what they were to do their speech on. Mm-hmm. And I think once again, that beautifully lines up with the wisdom of the leadership in Louisiana, those that decided they wanted that posted before the children, because they need to know that. Of course, the Ten Commandments are the moral law of God, which does not change. It's relevant to every culture, every group of people, under all circumstances. And I believe we are wise as the church to use the Ten Commandments as an ongoing curriculum of sorts to preach and teach from, because some of the biggest challenges in our world are a result of people violating them every day in our culture. So it continues to be not only relevant but powerful in speaking to the challenges and the problems in our culture today.
Amen. I was at the AFA retreat a couple years ago, Joseph, and Stephen McDowell was there, and he talked to me about the Ten Commandments, and he asked me, he said, do you know the Ten Commandments in order? And I said, no, I don't. I mean, I know the Ten Commandments, but I couldn't put them in order. And so he really challenged me. He said, you know, you're not unlike most Christians, most pastors. We say we know the Ten Commandments, but how well do we know the Ten Commandments? And so I preached a sermon series because of that conversation. I preached a sermon series on the Ten Commandments and learned the Ten Commandments in order. And I think I shared on the broadcast when we were promoting the Ten Commandments Speech Challenge, how our children's minister put together an easy way to remember the order of the Ten Commandments. And it was helpful for the children. It was helpful for me. And so we posted that online for people. And it is important that we teach our children these are foundational truths, and they're rooted in the character of God. And so when those come back, Joseph, when the kids would bring those back to you, what was something that really stood out this year?
Well, you know, I think one thing that really I feel like the Lord continues to hammer this home to me is that we need to challenge the church to put children to work in it. Because, for example, even just like the broadcast, the Hour of Intercession broadcast we recorded yesterday, was a mom and two children who both, they did beautiful speeches. But the mom observed that she saw things in her children. She saw them grow. She saw them develop. And also, it appeared that the family was learning to have fun learning truth. Mm. And that was so profound to me that, again, it's good to know that our children are going to occupy their minds with something. But there's nothing more valuable for them to occupy their minds and their thoughts within the Word of God and the truth of God. Because, again, that's what we're called to do. As believers, we're to be founding and living our lives on truth. And so seeing children come to realize that they can delight in God and in His Word, and that's what they can grow to become occupied in and encouraged by. And so parents need to, I think, again, one of the things I'm learning better and better is that parents need to make it a high priority to deliberately and diligently disciple their children in the Word of God. Because mm-hmm. today we see in too many communities, big cities and small communities, children killing other children. The murder mm-hmm. rate amongst high school kids is tragic. But also we think of the tragedy of school shootings, and we think of the tragedy of even suicide. And you even hear of tragically suicide amongst elementary children, which seems like a modern phenomenon. But the reality is God's Word answers all these problems, all these difficulties. And so the Ten Commandments Challenge is just one more discipleship project that obviously we're glad to have parents and children to participate in this project. But our hope is that others who may or may not get involved with ours may decide, well, you know, I can do that in my home. I can mm-hmm. let my children learn the Ten Commandments, and I can maybe call and get them a T-shirt. But I want my child to memorize them. I want to teach my child what each one means so that that can be in their heart. And, you know, Pastor Jeff, it's good to know this is not just an academic exercise. There's no. power in the Word of God. There's yeah. power in the Word of God to change, to transform. And now, one thing I really try to emphasize, because I think sometimes people may misunderstand, the Ten Commandments don't save a person per se. It's only through Jesus Christ that we're saved. Mm-hmm. But the Ten Commandments emanate from the Word of God. All of the Word of God is Jesus, and it all points to Jesus and points to the gospel. Mm-hmm. So in the midst of the program, for example, when we encourage others as well as when we do them, the 5-week teaching program, we always share the gospel, of course. Yet the Ten Commandments continues to be a wonderful tool because, you know, I think of, for example, abstinence. Well, the reality is we live in a world where lots of people think that's old-fashioned. It's never been more relevant. It's always relevant. So all these truths help us as the church.
Amen. Amen. Well, I appreciate your work, Pastor, and thank you for coming on today. And it is critical. So I would just encourage all the parents, hey, go over that with your kids. Teach your kids the Ten Commandments and teach them the Ten Commandments in order. And as Pastor Joseph Parker said, the meaning behind it, why is this important? And as he said, the law has become our tutor, Galatians chapter 3, to lead us to Christ. None of us can fulfill the Ten Commandments completely, so they show us we're sinners and need a Savior, and that is that Savior is the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve and Pastor Joseph Parker, thank you for being my guest today. God bless you, my brother.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at afr.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. I just wanted to encourage you on this Friday about the National Truth for Youth Bible Week on American Family Radio. It's coming to the end of this push, but we want to give away 60,000 free Bibles to young people across America. And American Family Radio and Revival Fires International are partnering together to provide the only hope for teens as they return to school. And the only hope for anybody is the Lord. He is the only one. He is the only Savior. As I've shared before on the program, the world is a sinking ship, and there's only one Savior. And as Peter said to the Sanhedrin, and there is salvation in no one else, for there's no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. And so if you and we together can get the word of God in the hands of an unbeliever, the word has power. It's living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and is able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. The Bible is different than any other book. You and I read other books, but the Bible reads us because it has the breath of God. It's inspired by God, literally God breathed. And so we want to get these Truth for Youth Bibles into the hands of Christian students who can put them, therefore, into the hands of their non-Christian friends. And as you read the Word of God gets in your heart and in your life. The Holy Spirit takes the Word and convicts and converts, and salvation can come. So to get involved, visit tfy.org. That stands for Truth for Youth. tfy.org, online anytime, or you can call 844-530-8890. That's 844-530-8890. They're very inexpensive if you want to just get a box of them and have them sent. And if you have a grandchild or student, son or daughter, you can get those for free, and we'll send those to you. So Truth for Youth Bible Week. Well, as we had Joseph Parker on, talking about the Ten Commandments, and the Ten Commandments are foundational. And so it is very encouraging that Louisiana has mandated, hey, the Ten Commandments are going back in the public schools. You shall not murder. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Those are critical things. You shall not covet. That means to desire other people's things. Critical things. Those are foundational truths. Now, the Bible says in Psalm 11, verse 3, if the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? And so it's important for us to have the foundations of the truths of Scripture in our minds, in our hearts, and have those settled so we're not constantly fighting. It says in Psalm 119, you know, Psalm 119 is that long, long psalm, the longest psalm in the Bible. And in Psalm 19, it's all about the Word of God. And the psalmist says, I will lift up my hands to your commandments, which I love. Now, everybody knows that the universal sign around the world for surrender is the lifting of your hands. You may not know a language, but if you're in a fight, I saw this in Desert Storm in the 90s when we were coming against the Iraqis. When they wanted to surrender, what did they do? They put down their weapon and they lifted up their hands. That's the universal sign for surrender. Well, Psalm 119, I will lift up my hands to your commandments, which I love. That means I surrender myself to Lord, to your word, to your will, to your ways. I love what the Bible says about itself. The grass withers, Isaiah 40, verse 8. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. The Lord has magnified his word, Psalm 138, according to all his name. Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. That's really important that we understand that the Bible is solid and trustworthy and true. It's impossible, the Bible says, for God to lie. And the devil and all those he can influence, they're always coming against the Bible, trying to destroy the Bible, trying to make people doubt the Bible. First thing out of the devil's mouth when he encounters a human being, even the garden, he takes the word of God and he twists the word of God and he adds a question mark to the word of God. Indeed, he said to her, has God said you shall not eat from any tree of the garden? And you say, well, you know, she said, well, we can eat from any tree of the garden, but from the tree that's in the middle of the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, God said, we shall not eat from it or touch it lest we die. Well, you might miss in Genesis 3:1 how the devil works. He's very subtle. You know, he's a liar and the father of lies, the enemy of our souls, and he's a master liar. And a master liar knows that you don't come at somebody with something that is just outlandish. You take something that is true and you twist it just a little bit. And you add a question mark and you get them to question, is this true? So listen to it again. Indeed, has God said, did I hear this right? Has God really said, he makes all these fruit trees and all this wonderful fruit. And then he says, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden. Well, is that what God said? No. God said, Genesis 2:16, from any tree of the garden you may eat freely. Well, that's way different than what the devil said. But from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat from it you will surely die. See how the devil tries to paint God in a negative light, tries to get Eve to doubt the goodness of God, the character of God, and the word of God. He'll do that in your life. He'll do that in my life. We can be solid as Christians, that the grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. And all scripture from Genesis to Revelation 22, 21, all scripture is inspired by God. Literally, God breathed. It has the breath of God on it. And it's profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. My wife, Debbie, is reading a book on deconstruction. And it's how people today, and especially younger people, they're deconstructing their faith. They're questioning everything. And is it good to question everything? Well, yes and no. It's good to know why. It's good to ask yourself the question why. I heard an interview Josh McDowell did with a young girl, and he was asking her about the Word of God. He said, do you believe the Word of God is, the Bible's the Word of God? Yes. Do you believe it's true? Yes. Do you believe it's reliable? Yes. Do you believe it's accurate concerning everything it says about history and spiritual things and science and all that? She said, yes. And he said, why? Why do you believe that? And she was stumped. She didn't know why. So it's good to question yourself so that you're solid on the answers. Now, some things God doesn't give us the answer to. Some that we're not, you know, when people say, well, as somebody asked me the other day, and they were like, hey, hold on to your seatbelt. I'm going to ask you this question. It's such a hard question. Where did God come from? I said, well, the Bible doesn't tell us anything about that. God is not explained. He's just presented. In the beginning, God. God's outside of time. God didn't have a creator. He is the creator. And so from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Now, people that say, well, that's not a good enough answer for me. Well, that's all the answer that you get. God's not explaining himself to you. He's just saying, hey, I've always been, and I always will be. And you can trust me and believe that, or you can fight me on that, but that's the way it's going to be. Remember this too. I think this is important. I remember talking to a guy, a neighbor of mine that I had some years ago. He was a homosexual guy, and his the guy he lived with died of AIDS, and he was very bitter and very angry, and he was saying, you know, God has to try to talk to him about the Lord. And he said, well, he's going to need to explain himself to me pretty quickly. That was kind of his attitude, you know. And, you know, anytime you have that kind of attitude that, you know, well, I'm demanding answers of God. It's okay to question. It's okay to ask God with reverence and awe about this situation or that situation. Just remember, God is not in the business of explaining. He's in the business of sustaining. You know, if you experience the terrible pain of the loss of a loved one and you want to know why, God, why didn't you answer my prayer? Why didn't my loved one overcome the cancer or the stroke or whatever it might be, this disease that they had? Why did you take, Lord, Acts chapter 12, why did you take James and allow him to be martyred and deliver Peter? I don't understand, Lord. Some people get really, they just get derailed with that. Just know that the Lord is not in the business of explaining. He's in the business of sustaining. So oftentimes God just says, you know, it's on a need-to-know basis. You don't need to know, so why don't you just trust me? And oftentimes, too, the Lord says, if I explained it to you, you wouldn't understand it. You know, we think that we're somehow equal to God in our ability to understand things. As I said just a few days ago on the program, you know, the mind and the knowledge and the understanding of God is like the Pacific Ocean. You look out on the Pacific Ocean, you can't see the end of it. It's just, it goes past what you can comprehend or see. Well, what's our mind like? It's like a teacup, and you bring your teacup to the Pacific Ocean, and you want the Pacific Ocean to fill up your cup, and you think that you have the same capacity that the Pacific Ocean does. You don't. I don't. Nobody does. And so a lot of things, we just have to bow the knee. We have to lift up our hands to the commandments, which we love, and say, okay, Lord, I surrender. I don't understand, but I surrender because you understand. And all I need to know is that you understand. I don't have to understand. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. It was Charles Stanley's life verses. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. So we just say, yes, Lord. I still remember Darlene Dibler, the missionary in Indonesia when World War II broke out, and she experienced so many terrible, horrible things under the cruel regime of the Japanese. And she said when she found out her husband, she was given the news that her husband, Russell, had died. She said, I felt like my Lord had left me. And she said to the Lord, Lord, did you have to take Russell? And she said the Lord spoke so sweetly to her heart and said, Darlene, you can trust me. I'm here for you. I will never leave you. And that was her testimony. It was called, I Will Never Leave You. And the Lord didn't leave her, never left her. And she has such a mighty story to tell. She's with the Lord now. But you can go to Google and search Darlene Dibler, D-I-E-B-L-E-R, Rose, and listen to her testimonies. One of my favorite testimonies, missionary testimonies that I've ever heard. I just love Darlene. Can't wait to meet her in heaven. Well, we're going to go to the phone lines, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. And I'd love to hear from you if you have a question or a comment. It's just kind of open today. I think Rush Limbaugh used to call it Open Line Friday. And so anything that you would want to talk about, comment about, you don't want to go too long on comments, but I'd love to talk to you if you have a question about things. You know, lots of uncertainty in our world. Every time it's an election year, that makes people nervous, and because we're gearing up for potential change. And, you know, one side of the argument on the political front, this regime will be terrible. The other side, no, this regime will be terrible. I have learned this, and I think it holds to be maybe not 100% true, but very, very, very true. When you hear the left bashing the right, and when people saying, hey, this is a threat to democracy, if people vote for Donald Trump, then you know, life is going to be over, and everything is going to be terrible, and democracy will be, you know, we'll see the death of it, all those things. Whatever the left is accusing the right of doing, or accusing the right that the right will do if they get in power, that's what they're currently doing. That's a tactic. I learned that from my friend Bill Federer. He said that's a tactic of socialism and communism. That's a you do the crime and then you pin it on your enemy, your political enemy. Say, look, that's what they did. That's what they did. You start the fire and say that they started the fire. And so that's been around for a long, long time. We need to judge not according to appearance sake, as Jesus said, but judge according to righteous judgment, and look and be discerning. I talked to our men yesterday from Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14. It says in verse 13, you know, I wanted to speak to you as to spiritual men, as to mature men, but I couldn't, because you're still babes in Christ. You can have milk only and not solid food. He said, solid food, meat, the meat of the word, is for the mature who, because of practice, have their senses trained to discern good and evil. Listen, if you'll spend time in the Word of God and you'll let the Bible just kind of just filter everything, and your mind is just dominated by the Word of God, you meditate on the Word. That's what the Lord told Joshua. You know, the book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do it, so that I can bless you. If you will do that, then you'll have your senses trained to discern good and evil. And when you hear something, you'll say, wait a minute, that doesn't sound right. Something, you may not know what's wrong with it, but it's something that your senses just say, your spiritual sensitivity says that's not right. Because God's way is the way of truth, and the devil is a liar and the father of lies, and he works everything to try and push us into a lie. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, and we're up against a break, but when we come back, we'll be taking your calls. 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. Give me a call and let's talk. You've heard a lot about saving babies on this show. That's because it's important to me personally. And let me just be frank with you. We need to save them. That's why we've partnered with Preborn, the nation's leader in introducing mothers with unplanned pregnancies to their babies. And once she hears that heartbeat and sees that precious life growing inside of her, she is twice as likely to choose life. Now that's a miracle. But quite honestly, if we don't save them, who will? Preborn receives no government funding, so their work is completely dependent on you and me. Preborn has rescued over 280,000 babies. And that's not all. They provide love, support, and counseling for up to 2 years for free, saving lives and souls. One ultrasound is just $28, or 140 helps rescue 5 babies' lives. Abortion doesn't stop, so we can't either. Together, you and I can save lives. Just call #250 on your cell and say the keyword baby. That's 250 baby, or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email pastorjeff@fromhisheart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. We are opening the phone lines to take your calls, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you have a question or comment, love to hear from you. And we have Dan on the line from Mississippi. Dan, welcome to Real Truth for Today. Don, I'm sorry. Don, go ahead.
Yeah, I was gonna correct that one. but anyway, I am so glad that you mentioned the Ten Commandments and how they are being restored. I praise God that the hand of God is on this. and moving this thing, man. It's been over 24 years since this thing happened. And, yeah, 24 years. I think that's right. That's correct. But anyway, it is a beautiful thing. When you mentioned that, I thought about my men's group, and we was talking about power for our children and for the next generation. And this is something that I'm going to print, take to the group, and insist that they read it. Because just like you, I had to go back and reexamine myself and say, if I knew the Ten Commandments from 1 to 10.
Right.
And I had to check myself, and I didn't. And I had to go back and start reading. As I'm walking, I'm Googling it so I can get myself reestablished again. But I just praise God that they are doing that. I hope Mississippi take that same lead and restore them back into the school system, into the homes, and wherever it's needed at, because our young children who are killing themselves, and we just had a killing just about a week ago of a young man, 19 years old, you know, shot to death. Mm-hmm. You know, and yeah, I believe in my heart that if these children had those particulars, that they would be more and well-equipped to deal with the word. And to your guests, I wanted to let your guests know, I was traveling through Winona, Mississippi, and God saved my life from an accident. Winona got a lot of trees in the medium, and at this one particular spot, it was just as clear as day. And at that point, I fell asleep at the wheel and got off the road, and the road woke me up shaking the car. And there's this thing called a Cali gap in the middle of the road, in the middle of the highway that goes up under the highway to allow cattle to go from one field to the other one. And I was maybe 25 yards from going off in it. So to your guests, God saved my life in that city.
Mm. Amen. Amen. Well, thank you, Don. I appreciate that. God bless you, my brother. Thanks for all that you do to lift up Jesus and help men and families. May your tribe increase, my brother. God bless you. Well, we have Clara on the line from Kentucky. Clara, welcome to Real Truth for today.
Thank you. I'm the first-time caller. I've been in Kentucky 2.5 years. Before that, I didn't know anything about AFR. But we're thankful for it, for all the programming. My husband's not here, but he listens. He loves the Christian worldview and a lot of programs. I just wanted to comment on the book, on the author you mentioned, Darlene Rose. Uh-huh. I heard her testimony on the radio in Michigan, so I bought her book. It's called Evidence Not Seen.
Yes.
And I just wanted your people to know that would be a great book to give to someone who was lacking in faith.
Yes, yeah.
Because her faith was so incredible.
Yeah, I read that, and which is mostly her testimony, Evidence Not Seen, but it's got, you know, she's going to share more in the book than she shares just in her spoken testimony. But yeah, Darlene is amazing. The things that she endured and the way she presents truth, you know, the Lord was just so near and dear to her. You read her book and you hear her testimony and just say, God, I want to have a relationship with you like she does. I want to have that closeness, because she depended on the Lord for everything. And she didn't sugarcoat it. It was, her life was hard. It was very hard. But God was with her every step of the way. Well, Claire, I'm glad you found American Family Radio there in Kentucky, and I appreciate you listening. And so anything else you'd like to say?
One thing about Darlene that I've come to realize, every time she doubted, she said, Lord, couldn't you have saved my wedding book?
Yes.
And then the Lord whispered to her, how do we hear the Lord's voice? She knew the word of God. That's why the Holy Spirit could minister to her.
Yes, she did. And she had a tremendous ability with language. You know, she could learn languages very easily. And with poetry, and, you know, she had a capacity for the Word of God and a memory for the Word of God. But that's what sustained her when she was in the death row camp there at the at the prison, the Japanese prison, and being interrogated every day and beaten. I love how she said, Clara, too. She said, you know, I never cried before my captors, but when they would leave, I'd cry buckets of tears and cry out to the Lord, and the Lord would sustain her and delivered her from all that. So God bless you. Thank you for calling in, and thank you for that. So the book is called Evidence Not Seen, Darlene Dibler Rose. Well, we have Anthony on the line from North Carolina. Anthony, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hello, Pastor. Good to hear you. Love hearing you speak. I have a question, well, comment, really, on the elections and politics that's going on. I'm a black man, and I voted back in 2008 for Obama. And I did that because he was black, and that was a mistake. And many people are still going down that route today for this other candidate, the VP. And that's you know, if we could learn to vote on a person's character, you know, not their race, but what they have done, you know, in the last 4 years, you know, whoever the president is, whoever the person is running, if we could just focus on what has happened in America in the last 3.5 years, you know, with this administration, we would get a different view, not the race. So, you know, that bothers me, and I've heard people comment on it, you know. What have they done for the country?
Right.
That's how you know, vote.
So. That's exactly right. Good word, Anthony. Yeah, you know, Martin Luther King's dream is a worthy dream, that his children would be judged not on the color of their skin, but the content of their character. You know, we've gone the other direction now, and we judge everything on the color of somebody's skin or what victim group they identify with, and, you know, all the critical race theory garbage, and it's just all the DEI stuff. It's just terrible. You know, people are people. I don't care what color they are. I don't care what sex they are. You judge a person based on the content of his or her character, and you judge a politician based on what they do, on their record. You know, they can say a lot of things and promise the moon, but, you know, it's just like Joe Biden. He's been in office forever. I mean, decades and decades and decades, and every time he would campaign, hey, if you put me in there, this is what I'm going to do. It's like, you've been in there 40 years. What have you done? So all these empty promises, it's just sickening. And you want somebody that gets things done and gets things done to better the masses, better the lives of the masses, not a few special interest groups. So God bless you, Anthony. Thank you for calling in. We have Sally on the line from Texas. Sally, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Good morning.
Good morning. Go ahead.
So I was just wondering, can you lose your salvation?
Short answer, no. What's provoking the question?
Well, because I have a male friend, and he struggles with some things that a lot of men struggle with, and he feels like he can lose his salvation because, you know, we're not perfect.
Right. Yeah. Well, most men struggle in the area of thoughts and lust and things like that, things associated with that. Pornography is a big problem for men. When you're struggling in sin, Sally, you can start to feel like there's no way God could love me, because I keep falling and failing, over and over and over. I must not be a Christian anymore. Oh, the devil can really move in, and try and, get you to believe a lie. So this is what Jesus said, John 5:24, truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has, present tense, right now, has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but is passed out of death into life. So that happens the moment you believe. It doesn't happen the moment you die. Eternal life is not something you get when you die. It's something you get when you believe. Now, if you think about eternal, everlasting life, it means that it's forever. And the Lord gives you that when you believe. Now, if you could lose your salvation, then you didn't have eternal life. If you could have it in 5 years and then lose it, what'd you have? You had five-year life. If you could have it for 10 years and then lose it, what'd you have? You had 10-year life. Even if it was 20 or 30 years, you had 20 or 30-year life. But Jesus doesn't offer that. He offers us eternal life for those who hear his word and believe him who sent me, to repent and believe him and trust him with our lives. He comes into our life. We give our life to Jesus. He gives his life to us. We're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, as it says in Ephesians chapter 1. And he's the down payment. He's the engagement ring. And the Lord is saying, listen, I'm never breaking up with you. You have my spirit. This is my promise. I've given you my spirit. My spirit lives in your heart, and he doesn't ever move out. Jesus said, he will be with you, and he will be in you, and he will be in you forever. And so when you understand salvation, you understand there's nothing you can do to earn it, and there's nothing you can do to lose it. If we could lose our salvation, every single one of us would. But we're not saved by holding on to Jesus. John chapter 10, he holds on to us. And he said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give eternal life to them, and they shall never perish. And no one is able to snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who is greater than all, has given them to me, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. So the picture that we have there, Sally, is the moment that you give your heart and life to Jesus, he places you in his hand, and he puts his fingers together to make a fist, and he's like, you're in there, and you're never going to come out. And in case that's not good enough for you, then he says, my Father, who is greater than all, has given them to me, and he puts his hand over the hand of the Lord Jesus, and he holds you securely, and you cannot lose your salvation. So I would just encourage your boyfriend that way. And, you know, we don't want to continue in sin. We want to have a true relationship with God. We want to walk in the light as he himself is in the light. And when it comes to problems with sexual sin, accountability is critical. Having somebody that we can talk to, another brother in the Lord, that can be our accountability partner, that is important. Confess your sins to one another and pray for one another, that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man avails much. So I hope that's helpful, Sally.
Oh, thank you so much.
Thank you. We have Lee on the line from Texas. Lee, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Yes, to all the Christians that don't want to vote, and but they want revival, I would just say that to all the Christians, let revival start with voting. Vote right. You know, let us unite at this time, and let it be said that when the polling comes in and the media tallies up all the percentages and everything, it was the Christians that voted right throughout all these different swing states and through the states. And I just want to encourage the people, because revival will come if we stand united. And, you know, people may say stuff about the former president that, well, he's this and that, but he was swayed to put embassy in Jerusalem. Now, he was swayed. He didn't just wake up and think that. He was persuaded. And I believe that he can be persuaded to do a lot of right things for the Christians, and that the gospel can continue to go forth.
Amen. That's a good word, Lee. Yeah, Judge Trump, based on what he did when he was president. You know, was he a tyrant and dictator? Was he abusing people? No. The lives of the people in America were much better when he was president. As Bill O'Reilly said, hey, he governed well. He governed sensibly. He had a sense of right and wrong and law and order. And the things that he did, you know, he didn't feather his own nest when he was president. He lost a lot of money becoming president. All these other guys, they become, you know, president or politician. All of a sudden, now they're multimillionaires. You look at Trump's net worth. It went down quite a bit with his being in office, and he never took a salary. He did it for free. And so the things about, oh, he's just greedy, it's just all about, you know, feathering his own nest, the evidence doesn't bear that out. Well, we are out of time. Penny in Arkansas, I'm sorry we didn't get to you. Lee, thank you for calling in. And you're right, the Truth for Youth Bible, Penny, is a New Testament, so it doesn't have the Ten Commandments in it, unless it might be added in there. I'm not sure on that, so have to check. But Thanks for listening to Real Truth for Today. Hope that you have a great weekend. Remember, every day is an opportunity to shine and share and be the Lord's witness, telling people about Jesus, who is mighty to save. I'll be with you again on Monday. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.